There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with you shortly. He's in Indianapolis. I'm in Beaver Creek, Colorado, and we're here to talk Indiana football. But first, let's get down to business with a word from our sponsor over at MyBookie. All right, now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you doing today? It was a big win for IU on Saturday, 35-0 to get their first conference win, a win over Rutgers. How are you doing on this holiday Monday?
Doing very well, yes. Glad everybody could join us here. We mentioned really all off season and the beginning of this season. And last week we mentioned this was, Rutgers was the start of a four-game stretch that was going to go a very, very long way towards defining this season. And that definitely still holds true. And Indiana got off on the right foot by taking care of business, getting up very early, shutting Rutgers completely down, and then just coasting to the win. Not a whole lot to complain about from Saturday's performance.
No, that was as dominant a win it was a far inferior team, and we do realize that, and fans pointing out that it is just Rutgers and things like that. Look, we get it, and you take it with a grain of salt, but this is a game that IU had to have at home. It was a game that they should have won. It's a game that they should dominate in, and they did, just like their non-conference wins, and that's where this program is at. They're starting to beat the teams that they should beat by 30, 40, 50 points, by 30, 40, and 50 points. And we'll talk about this later in the show, but the matchup against Maryland, I think everybody talks about how beating Ohio State or beating Michigan would be a program-changing or a program-building win. But I think that if Indiana goes to Maryland next week and wins there, that is more of a culture-changing win than would be just to beat Ohio State and beat Michigan. That wouldn't be as big of a win, in the press and things like that, but it's a win that these are the games that Indiana has lost in the past that has cost them bowl appearances. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But back to the Rutgers game, I thought Indiana played very, very well on offense and then just played lights out on defense. DeMarcus Elliott came bursting through the line on the first play from scrimmage, caused a fumble. Raekwon Jones ran it in. It was the fastest touchdown scored by Indiana in Memorial Stadium's history. It was 10 seconds into the game. And it really set the tone. Then the next drive, Indiana forces a three and out. They get the ball back. Penix hits Wap Fillier for a 56-yard catch and run. Then next play, he hits Nick Westbrook, who jukes a Rutgers defender out of his shoes and gets up to a 14-0 lead. And that was basically it. Rutgers had one passing yard. If college football did their stats like the NFL did their stats, Rutgers would have had negative 41 passing yards. But because college football counts sack yardage as rushing yardage, it came out Rutgers only had one passing yard and I believe 73 rushing yards. So overall dominant day by Indiana. The things that they need to clean up again are these silly penalties, the holding or a face mask on a punt return, where Wapfield wiped out an 18-yard Wapfield return. You had Reese Taylor go offsides. Now, he probably wasn't offsides. It was close. But those are the penalties that come back and haunt you in games like the ones this week at Maryland, Northwestern in a couple weeks, Nebraska. Just these matchup opponents when you need every single yard to beat these guys, that's what you need. I thought, you know, Wapfield was outstanding at 182 yards. His connection with Michael Penix is forming really, really well. I thought Penix, I don't want to say he looked rusty, but he didn't look as sharp as he was against Michigan State. Now, Michigan State was the only game he had played in about a month, so he probably needed to knock off some rust. But his receivers helped him out. You saw Wap came back on a deep pass that earlier in the year Indiana probably drops. And, you know, for an off day, going 20 of 29 for 260-some-odd yards is pretty good. And then the rushing offense, it was great to see Stevie Scott. You know, he only had 12 carries, but he ran for 164 yards. Get through those holes and get longer runs. He had a career-high 57-yard run and then 31-yard rush as well. So it's good to see that. Samson James had a decent game outside of that one fumble, but he looked okay in with the several number of carries. I know, TJ, you were excited about David Ellis getting spots at running back, and because Cole Guest is now in the transfer portal, it opens up kind of a spot there at the fourth spot at running back, and David Ellis fit in there. Ronnie Walker ran hard a couple of times. So overall, a really comfortable win for Indiana, one that you take a little bit with a grain of salt, but you can't apologize for playing who's on your schedule. Rutgers is a Big Ten team, whether people like it or not. And they you got to face facts. They haven't scored a point in Bloomington since 2015. So, you know, really good job by Indiana coming out and taking care of business. Final thoughts on Rutgers, TJ?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned David Ellis, and I, you know, does it matter much for this year? Maybe, maybe not. But I do, you know, he's the type of guy that every time he touches the ball, you know, you kind of sit up a little bit, you know, lean forward a little bit. It feels like there's the potential for him to break one off, which I don't feel like is – he's not a guy that I prefer to keep at receiver just because that might be where he ends up long term. For me, he's a player that you just find ways to get the ball in his hands.
Yep,
you know,
I agree.
Reese Taylor is a player that I wish was used more like that last year, and I know that you know, Taylor wanted to play defense. That's where he sees his future, and I understand that. You know, but last year when he was on offense, I wanted to see more of what Kalen DeBoer did with David Ellis. You know, get him running out of the shotgun, get him moving side to side. See if you can stretch that defense and hit a seam. And I thought, honestly, I thought he looked pretty natural with the ball in his hands. And I would not mind seeing more of that this coming week and moving in further into the season, because he is the type of player that could turn, you know, what looks like a 4 or 5 yard gain, you know, make a cut and he's gone. And that's a 50, 60 yard gain. It could happen. And it could happen in a key spot for Indiana. So that's something to look forward to. And then, you know, you're right. You cannot apologize and should not apologize for beating up on Rutgers and taking care of business against them. You know, look at every conference, every single conference. Somebody's got to be bad. You know, everybody can't be good in a conference. And your job as a team that's trying to move up from that bad team in the conference to, you know, a decent to pretty good team in a program, that's what you have to do to those bad teams. That's what you have to do to a, you know, Kansas or a Vanderbilt, which Vanderbilt, and I only bring them up because they got shelled by UNLV. You know, that's what you have to do to those teams in the doormat of your conference. You have to take care of them. Because guess what? You have to play Ohio State. You have to play Michigan. You have to play Michigan State. You have to play Penn State. You have to play, you know, Wisconsin some years. Like, the schedule is more than hard enough. I really do not get the gripes with, oh, it's just Rutgers. Well, so what? That's who we played. And they IU did what they had to do. So, it's time to put that one to bed. Indiana did what they were supposed to do. I don't know how much you can really take away from individual performances other than, as you said, Watt Fillier continuing to shine this season. And then I think you can credit the defense for being more aggressive. That was clear coming out of the bye week that they planned on, you know, blitzing more, being more aggressive, getting into the backfield of the opponents. I think that's a very positive development that I hope continues. We saw some lineup shuffling as well from the defense, so that's I doubt that they're going to change that much going to Maryland because it worked very well, whether that's just because you were playing a really bad offense or that's because of the defense or probably a combination of both, but you don't make any changes after a big game like that, holding the opponent to one passing yard. I don't care who you're playing. That's impressive. So credit to the defense for making some adjustments and improving. Hopefully it continues because I think if Indiana can play with that type of defensive intensity and aggression, I really do think that this team could accomplish some pretty cool things.
Yeah, it's the defense. You didn't see many missed tackles. It's hard to judge the pass defense just because Rutgers didn't pass. I think they were 9 of 13 or something
right,
like that for 1 yard. But when they did, it was those swing passes, and they got buried for tackles for loss. So, you know, while they didn't have many pass breakups or chances at interceptions and things like that, they shut Rutgers' pass offense down to the tune of, if you want to put sacks in there, to the tune of negative 41 yards. Which is pretty darn impressive. You know, coming out, my big worries are, is Hunter Littlejohn's lower leg injury going to be ready to take on Maryland? They need him to play. Now, if he doesn't play, it looks like, you know, they did two things on Saturday. Charlie O'Connor is listed as the backup center. He played some. I thought he held his own pretty well. And then you can move – you could slide Harry Kreider over to center. He played center in high school. He played center his freshman year as well, but he's been starting at guard. So you'd have to fill somebody in, probably Mackenzie Nora at guard, to fill in there. It's why you need depth on the offensive line. Just people get rolled up on. Injuries happen and things like that. So hopefully he's back. Tom Allen said that they're going to rehab it. They expect him to play because he's a tough guy, but Hunter Littlejohn was on the sideline in the second half after he got hurt. He was still dressed. He didn't have his helmet on, but I believe he went through warm-ups. He probably was dying to get back in that game, but, you know, with an ankle injury or, you know, whatever the injury was, it looked like an ankle or he said lower leg.
Yeah.
You got to rest that, and, you know, you're up 20 – I think they were up 21-0 at the time when that happened. It was on the 54-yard pass to Fillier. You should be able to beat Rutgers with Charlie O'Connor or Harry Kreider at center, and they did just that. So, otherwise, it was a ho-hum game. You know, Logan Justice keeps doing what he does, kicking extra points. And we'll see. But this week, it's a huge matchup this week as they go to Maryland. Maryland's coming in at 3-3, 1-2 in the Big Ten. They started the year on fire, everybody bought into Mike Loxley's offense and that this Maryland team was different. They beat Howard 79-0. They beat a ranked Syracuse team who's no longer ranked 63-20 at home. And then, you know, they kind of came crashing back down to earth. They lose to Temple at Temple 20-17. Maryland had, I think, was it 9 shots or 8 shots inside inside Temple's 5-yard line to get a touchdown. And they go turn it over on fourth down on fourth down twice and lose that game 20-17. And then they just got in one of the blowout games that'll that makes me mad all year. I was out in Vegas for this game, TJ. The over-under was 60.5. I took the over. You would think that when a team scores 59 points, the over would be safe.
Yeah.
But it was 59-0. So, yeah, I'll be upset about that for a while. But anyway, they looked bad against, you know, Penn State. That game was really hyped up for them. It's a Friday night game. They had a lot of students come out. Penn State took over the student section, you know, when that game got out of hand. They beat Rutgers 48-7, and then they go to Purdue last week and got trounced by Jack Plummer and the young Boilermakers 40-14. Purdue actually ran the ball on them a little bit, I think 137 yards. But Jack Plummer threw for over 400 yards, and that to me is where IU has the advantage, is in the passing game. IU's receivers are really, really good. You have Michael Penix, who can pick apart a defense. And then, you know, now you have to, after the rushing performance last week, kind of got to respect the run game a little bit too. So you can't just drop 8 guys into coverage, rush 3, and just hope that, you know, Indiana doesn't hand the ball off. They're going to have to figure that out. Because Penix can pick apart this defense and find yards and put up yardage as well. So defensively, you know, Anthony McFarland looked all world last year. He's kind of come back to earth. You mentioned he has nagging injuries, TJ. Their leading rusher is Javon Leak, who's a really nice player. He's on special teams as well. He's a great kick returner. He's an explosive back. He averages 9.5 yards a carry, and he has 5 touchdowns on the year. My big question going into this game is, Josh Jackson going to play for Maryland? Because we know what Tyrell Pigram is. He's an excellent athlete who can run. He can't really throw that well. He's adequate throwing. He's a running quarterback who can throw, not a throwing quarterback who could run. And we'll put it that way. But Josh Jackson on the year, you know, has nearly 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that IU's had real good success against Pigram. Yeah, last year he came in relief of Kasim Hill, kind of caused problems. But now you kind of know what Pigram's about. Going into this game, they're going to prepare for him as well as Josh Jackson. And we'll see. The defense should have a pretty decent day as well. It's just a huge game going on the road. This is one of those hurdles that IU has to get over to build this program. Hoosiers are sitting at 4-2. You win this one, you're at 5-2, heading into a match, you know, the last week of October at 5-2. You're in great shape. In terms of bowl game, and you might not even be thinking just, oh, if we make a bowl game, it's which bowl game are we making? So it's a huge hurdle for IU. If you lose, you're sitting at 4-3. The fan base is going to tailspin out of control. You lose this game and it's back to, oh, here we go again. Can't win a matchup game on the road. It's the same as Minnesota last year and things like that. Same as Maryland 2 years ago. When you went there and blew a 16-point lead early in that game, you could go back basically every year for a decade and pick out one or two games where you got you know, Indiana has to win this game and things like that. And I don't want to call it a must win because it's not a panic. Like, that's used a lot of times as people panicking. It's a must win game. This is a game that Indiana needs to win.
Right.
The season's not over if you lose, but it's a game. If you want to show progress of where you are as a program, you need to win this game. And that's going to go towards the Northwestern game as well in 2 weeks. You need to win that game. This is the chance to kind of start changing the culture at IU and getting those fans who haven't bought into what Tom Allen is doing, who are still booing the team off the field and the offense off the field in a game where they lead 21-0 and saying, well, we don't support mediocre football and things like that. Well, great, fantastic. I get it. You're a big, tough guy there who doesn't, you know, support mediocre football or things like that. But it's a chance for you know, maybe you get a little bit braver and start buying into it. And I get why fans are a little are jaded about the Indiana football program, because they've broken hearts time and time again. So this is a chance for them to heal wounds of the past. You get this win, you sit at 5, you're in the driver's seat for a bowl game. What are your thoughts on Maryland, TJ?
Well, I agree with you about the importance of this game. I think need to win is a very apt way of putting it. You know, if you lose this one, then I think you realistically are looking at it as you've got 3 cracks at it to get 2 victories. You know, you've got 3 cracks of Northwestern, Nebraska, which I'm including in there mainly because they've looked so bad recently. I don't expect to go to Lincoln and win, but, you know, particularly if Adrian Martinez is not 100%, that's a beatable team. So I'll include them in there, them, Northwestern, and Purdue, which we don't know what Purdue's going to look like by that time. It certainly looked a lot better last Saturday, but, you know, they have not been that so far, and they are just 2-4. So a loss puts you up against it in terms of that. It takes away a lot of margin for error, whereas a win sets you up to, like you said, you can start to think, okay, 6 is right there. We got to get one more to get 6. And then you can position yourself for actual bowl position where it's not just, whatever happens is gravy from here. Although, I mean, our goal for this season coming in was get 6, just win 6. And then from there, you're looking to build on it. As far as Maryland goes, Pickram, their offense does get one-dimensional when he's in there. His deep ball is not the most accurate. He is prone to miss on, you know, say an out route that's an 8-yard out route that, you know, you should be able to hit like a 99 times out of 100. You know, he might only hit it 8 times out of 10, maybe 80 out of 100. You know, he's going to miss those. And it hinders their offense from putting together prolonged drives. Josh Jackson, honestly, I know that he does have speed, but on the field with Maryland so far when he was healthy, he looked kind of slow to me. I was not impressed with his mobility, if you will. Functional mobility in the pocket, but he didn't seem like he was the same guy that was hurting you with his legs, which he did early in his career at Virginia Tech. But we'll see. He had a high to mid ankle sprain the week before this past game against Purdue. I'd be kind of surprised if he played based on how the injury looked when it happened, but we have not heard anything out of College Park yet, and it seems likely that they're probably not going to make a public determination of that, if at all, until later this week. So Indiana's going to have to prepare for both of them. And if it's Pickram, you've got to do a good job of being aggressive but not over-pursuing. If you over-pursue the play in the backfield, Pickram can definitely burn you with his legs. Team with a lot of offensive explosion. You mentioned McFarland. Javon Leak, I will make this prediction that Javon Leak is an NFL player. I think he will be in the NFL. I think McFarland will be in the NFL. Their problem is their offensive line somewhat banged up and not very good to begin with. I think that IU can get pressure past those guys, especially if they choose to blitz. And the receivers, I don't think, are particularly overwhelming. Dante Demas is really their only guy that's provided consistent production so far this year. Nobody that terrifies you. I think that Walt Fillier will be the best receiver of either team. And I think that Donovan Hale is so far has to me impressed anyone more than the Terps, and IU definitely the edge of tight end, which is a position that Purdue, Bryson Hopkins, had a monster day against Maryland last Saturday.
Yep.
So maybe that's something Indiana can exploit as well, getting Hendershot to continue to get him involved. I think there's a lot of opportunities for Penix, if he's on, to really pick this defense apart. I mean, Temple almost threw for 300. Penn State could have literally, I think they could have set the score that night. They could have thrown for whatever they wanted to. And it really, Indiana, KJ Hamler for Penn State, is a player that I think is a lot like Walt Fillier. I don't think Fillier gets the recognition that Hamler does, but I think they're very similar players, and he had a really big day against Maryland, so perhaps WAP can do the same. And Pat Freiermuth had a nice day against the Terps as well, another tight end for Penn State. So I think that those are two spots the Hoosiers can really really pick apart this Maryland secondary, which I do not think is very good at all. Indiana, I think, has the edge on special teams, but they've got to stop getting those penalties on the returns, as you mentioned. That is a major annoyance, and it's got to stop. But I really do like Indiana's chances going to College Park. I do hesitate to get too optimistic, but I really like the way Indiana's playing. I like the way that they looked on Saturday. I think Maryland is very gettable, and I'll go ahead and jump the gun and make a prediction. I think Indiana comes out, wins this game. They've scored over 30 in every Penix start. I think that continues. I think the Hoosiers win this one. I'm going to go 41-20, Indiana.
Wow.
Yep.
So I did something as a health teacher that I hate doing. I Googled recovery time for high ankle sprains. It is 4 to 6 weeks, according to Dr. Google. The high ankle sprain, that's what it has been. And every time you hear, oh, it's a high ankle sprain, and you hope it's not, that's not the case with Hunter Littlejohn.
Right.
But every time
right.
you hear high ankle sprain, you kind of have that sinking feeling in your stomach. You go, oh, that's a month. It's at least a month. I mean, people take, people's bodies, different bodies respond differently to treatment and things like that.
A quarterback, you know.
Yeah. Well, you also have more weight on it. There's a toughness factor on it. You don't really have to go side to side that much. And he's at center. You could kind of hide somebody with an injury at center as opposed to a quarterback, especially if behind the shaky offensive line. So we'll see. If I was doing an injury report, I would probably put doubtful, but I haven't read anything out of Maryland's camp from Loxley yet. I'm sure that they're going to play it coy and say, well, he might be back, he could be back. Well, we've got 18 other quarterbacks here, so you could prepare for them all and do Anthony McFarland can play quarterback, whoever your fourth-string defensive lineman has been lining up a quarterback this week, whatever coaches do to give you an edge that media falls for, and if that's what they're going to do. But let's you talked keys to the game. You gave your prediction. My key of the game is Indiana's offense against Maryland's defense. The defense for Indiana is what it is. They haven't been forcing those takeaways. They're kind of boomer bust in their four wins. The most somebody scored was Ball State at 24. Outside of that, they've given up 3 points. So in their four wins, they've given up 27 points, less than a touchdown per win. But in the losses, they gave up gave up 34 to Michigan. That last touchdown I don't put on the defense. So 34 at Michigan, you gave up 51 against against Ohio State. And even one of those was a pick six. It's been a boom or bust type of thing. So is there a happy medium for this defense? Can they get the tackles for losses and the sacks against the subpar offensive line like they did against Rutgers? If they do that, they'll win. But my key matchup is Indiana's offense against a clear weakness on Maryland's defense in their secondary. Can they take advantage of that? Indiana's receiving core is that much better than Maryland's secondary. And you got to take advantage of it. You know that they're going to be keying on Watt failure. I think, you know, you saw, and this has happened all year, TJ. You've seen Indiana receivers go hot and cold. You know, Nick Westbrook had been shut down for the last couple weeks. And then Donovan Hale had a breakout game. Nick Westbrook had 5 catches last week. Donovan Hale, I think, was only targeted that one time on the play where he almost made a spectacular catch. He was like 1 inch or 2 inches away from a spectacular catch, but he didn't have any catches. And, you know, for Ty Freifogel goes, you know, back and forth, but they have enough weapons at receiver where it really does. Okay, you want to go double team Watt Failure? We're going to throw it to Freifogel, Westbrook, Donovan Hale. So it's kind of pick your poison. And they'll find ways to get WAP the ball. You know that they're going to double-team WAP. He's had, I think, now 24 catches and 300 and some odd yards the last 2 weeks. It's all that people are going to be talking about. And so can Indiana find these mismatches with Donovan Hale and this Nick Westbrook like they did last year in last year's matchup and take advantage? Now, they did that last year. They put up 34 points against them with Peyton Ramsey hitting those go routes down the sideline. Can they open up the offense a little bit more with Michael Penix and bring Peyton Hendershot into the game? Get Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale going, and then finish the game with a running attack in the second half like they did against Rutgers, where you have two really big backs in Stevie Scott and Samson James just crushing, soul-crushing runs in the second half, where it's not necessarily 50 and 30 yard runs, but those 8 yard runs, those 10 yard runs. I mean, Stevie Scott just ran over one Rutgers defender at one part, and it was like, okay, this, you know, at that point, Rutgers had basically given up. But can you get the game to that point where you could use that running game to kind of milk the clock, shorten the game, and just pound them into submission? That's how Big Ten football has been won for 150 years. Is, you know, you score enough points, you get a lead, you lean on your 230-pound back and your lineman, and you take those 7-8 minute drives, you know, and put up points and get out of there. So Indiana's passing game, it's all going to key on that. If they could get that going, they're going to be in good shape. The defense has to show up too. Maryland's got some athletes who are quick. They're good in space. So Indiana's tackling has to be on point again. But, TJ, mm-hmm. You said 42-20. That was your prediction, 42-20? 41-20.
Yep.
41. I don't know if I'm as confident as you. You are very optimistic, which makes me worry.
Yeah, that's scary.
But Indiana, I think that they opened as a 3-point favorite. The line got pushed to 5. Apparently, Rutgers-Indiana was the most bet game college football last week, which is kind of weird. I saw some tweet that they said, I think there were like $50,000 bets on Indiana last week. So you might want to investigate that. But, you know, I think Indiana puts up 38. I'm going to go 38-31 Indiana. I think Maryland's got enough on offense to put up 31 points, and you know, it's on the road. The defense played well. I think they come back to earth a little bit. But 38-31 is going to be my prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be look, it's a huge game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, it's one that catapults Indiana further forward, and that we do not come back next Monday speaking with you know, bitter disappointment, trying to pick ourselves up off the ground, heading to Nebraska. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. I hope Indiana's players and coaches are as well. You know, this is a chance to, as we've said, to show on the field that, look, this isn't, you know, this is not just fake. This is not a hype. This is not just here we go again. This is different, and, you know, we're here to stay. And I hope that that's what we see on Saturday, and that Indiana can move to 5-2, which is going to be a spot that I do not remember an Indiana team being at for quite some time, and that's really, really exciting.
I think that 2007 team was 6-1. What was it? At 1.5-1.
Yeah.
After they beat Minnesota, they were 5-1. Yeah, and
so
then they lost
three
straight.
13 years. So it's not like this is some, you know, national title threatening or even Big Ten title threatening squad, but you know, these are fairly uncharted waters for Indiana football. If we can push to 5-2, and that's what this is about, is pushing it to that next level, and Saturday is a prime opportunity to do so.
Yeah, it's you got to get that fifth win. We've been saying this all year, TJ. This is the swing game. You're going from 5-2. You could go from 5-2 to 4-3 real quick in one game, and this is the swing game. So huge game for IU. Kickoff is at 3:30. It's on Big Ten Network. They're playing at Maryland. I know IU usually has a really good crowd at Maryland. There's a lot of DC alum in that area. They come down and they really have a nice cheering section behind that bench. So if you're an IU fan in the DC area, tickets are really cheap. Go to the game. This is, you know, one of the better IU football teams to go see on the road. If it's easy to get to you, go do it and get down there. The team needs your support. But, you know, we'll see. It's a road game. It's always tough on the road in the Big Ten. And we'll see where IU goes from here. But this is the game we circled all summer, TJ, and it's here.
Yep.
And we'll have you all covered at HoosierHuddle.com. So, TJ, thanks for joining me on the Holiday Monday. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And hopefully we can come back next Monday and have a happy podcast instead of a sad one. I don't want a sad podcast. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, or the rest of the week.
I wish. Yeah, I wish we were already there. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, happy Indigenous Peoples Day, formerly known as Columbus Day, but that guy was a jerk. So happy Indigenous Peoples Day. Enjoy, hopefully, at the day off. Enjoy it. Hopefully the weather was great where you are. And we'll be back next Monday with the podcast. Again, that's TJ Inman. Thank him for joining us as well. You could follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. You could visit HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have all your Hoosier football coverage throughout the week leading up to the game at 3:30 in College Park. That game is on BTN again. For people who need help finding the game, we'll tweet out the BTN Game Finder. It'll help people if it's on an alternate channel. Off the top of my head, I don't know the schedule if there's another 3:30 BTN game. But please, if you have trouble finding the channel, tweet at us. I'll tweet you the link to the Game Finder. It's a great tool, and hopefully you can watch and enjoy the game as well. But that does it for today's podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.